Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and this, as just stated, is the AWS Morning Brief. This episode is brought to you in part by our friends at New Relic. I know, you'd think I would instead be talking about Datadog, Prometheus, OpenTelemetry, or several more, but no, we're talking about New Relic. A while back, I might have agreed with your assessment, but New Relic did something a little out there. They reworked everything. They went open source, they made it so you can monitor your whole stack in one place, and they simplified their pricing, because it needed it. There's even a free tier, which is the exact opposite of what people would associate with New Relic. It offers one user and 100 gigabytes of ingest per month, totally free. Check it out at newrelic.com. Now, what did AWS do last week? Well, it repeatedly served a stomp on its own schmeckle. Let's go into some details here, and we'll go item by item. Most of it's decent, but there were a few moments out there. TLS v1.3 has a simpler handshake, which is good, because the old version of the way that these handshakes took place looked like something you'd find between two teenagers who had nothing to do for 9 months but work on building a custom handshake themselves to be cool, to show they were in the same club or gang or whatnot. I don't know what teenagers are up to anymore, for God's sake, I'm almost 40. AWS named as a cloud leader for the 10th consecutive year in Gartner's Infrastructure and Platform Services Magic Quadrant. Okay, the Gartner Magic Quadrant coming out is probably one of my favorite days of the entire year because it's the one time where a bunch of other cloud companies proudly trumpet blog posts that emphasize just how thoroughly AWS is kicking the living stuffing out of them in the enterprise market. Federated multi-account access for AWS code commit. I point out that it remains far, far, far easier to federate access to GitHub, but that doesn't sell third-rate AWS services like code commit, so I probably shouldn't point that out. This episode is also sponsored by our friends at Chaos Search. We're all sadly familiar with the failed promises of the original data lake, but now that's all changed. Join me, along with Chaos Search, as we explore Data Lakes 2.0, a new vision for log analytics. During this series, yes, I will be speaking, you'll learn how to turn your Amazon S3 into a hot, searchable data lake instead of its hot, unsearchable data mess it currently is, how to monitor and analyze your AWS services directly within S3, and more. So sign up for the Data Lakes webinar that I'm participating in, even if it's just to hear my lovely voice and unbounded wisdom. Visit snark.cloud/datalake. That's snark.cloud/datalake. Why sleep with a drip when you can date a lake? Announcing the winner of the AWS Deep Composer Chartbusters Spin the Model Challenge. That's right, spin the model is a strange turn of phrase for an area of study that could also rightly be called bias laundering. Their next challenge is called the Sound of Science, because someone thinks they're funny when they're not. Announcing the general availability of Bottle Rocket, an open source Linux distribution built to run containers. A new Linux distribution has gone GA. Every distribution specializes in something. Bottle Rocket specializes in not having the program you would like to use installed. AWS Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning Week is back and open for registration. What is Machine Learning Week? It's like Shark Week, except that sharks generally stop after they rip off one limb, but machine learning likes to keep going. Now, I mentioned that AWS had a great week of stomping soundly on its own schmeckle. Let's get into a few points there. There was an article in CRN that was titled, VMware Partners Say that AWS Scoops Up VMware Cloud on AWS Deals and Pushes You Out. You know, this is the exact same fear that everyone has about AWS expanding into their space and pushing them out of deals that Amazon repeatedly said that they wouldn't do. But now there are actual cited stories of this exact thing happening, of effectively AWS wrecking customer deals. This is where your margin is my opportunity, as Bezos famously said, winds up really coming back to bite them, because effectively that margin is how partners survive in many cases. Also, not AWS specific, Amazon had some job listings that it has since deleted for intelligence analysts to track labor organizing threats inside of the company. This led to a massive public outcry. And then after taking the job postings down, they sent their PR folks to reach out and say, these reports are not accurate, without specifying which parts were inaccurate. The job posting was there. We all saw it. And now they wound up effectively saying, nope, nothing to see here. Oh, okay. But lastly, and most notably relevant to this entire world, is from an AWS blog post that I will cite now. It was titled, Jedi, Why We Will Continue to Protest This Politically Corrupted Contract Award. Did Oracle write that post? Because it's basically them whining about not winning a deal. Of course Oracle didn't write it. Oracle pays attorneys well, and those folks demonstrate an attention to detail that is sorely lacking in this blog post. They certainly wouldn't misuse the phrase begs the question to mean raises the question over at Oracle. Those folks know how the English language works. Likewise, they also would not mispluralize inspectors general as inspector generals like some inarticulate mook did in this blog post. They proceeded to complain about how this rebid was a do-over, then in the same paragraph mentioned how they took advantage of that said do-over to lower their bid by a lot. They then meander around the point for a while before calling out our terrible president for corruption, but fails to really make the case that that has any bearing or relevance on this contract. If they phoned in their bid the same way that they phoned in this blog post, it's no wonder that the Department of Defense chose Microsoft instead to run their cloud. And finally, we bid for a thing and lost. Now we're going to complain about it until the earth crashes into the sun. Seems like it lacks a certain customer-obsessed focus to me, but what do I know? I just know that I haven't seen this much sniveling from Amazon about a customer choosing another vendor before. It's a terrible look that caps off Amazon's already disturbingly atypical week of repeatedly stomping on its own schmeckle. And this is what happened last week in AWS. Thanks for listening. I'll be back more later this week with other interesting tidbits, tips, tricks, thoughts, etc. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review over at lastweekinaws.com/review. Whereas if you've hated this podcast, please leave a 5-star review over at lastweekinaws.com/review and tell me exactly how many hours you spent on writing that insipid blog post.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.